Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Cancer Survivor Show. You have Sharon and
Lucy.
And we are the chemo girls. That's right. Guys,
I am really feeling out of place here, Sharon. Cruz, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's a little weird, isn't it, Lucy?
Yeah, we're experimenting tonight.
We are. If we seem just a tad bit out of sync, that'll make sense to us because we are typically podcasting right across the table from each other, aren't we, Lucy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I can do this without my mic in front of me and your beautiful eyes staring over your mic at me. But here we are in different locations tonight.
That's right.
About all of that, Ms. Cruz.
Well, guys, Lucy lives a little over an hour away from us, and the studio is in our house. As a matter of fact, our studio is our dining room. And, you know.
What a great studio it is. I love it. I love being there, and I love having all our equipment surrounding us and your wonderful technician of a husband that you have on the soundboard and telling us when to come in and when to go out. And I'm missing that tonight.
I know. And we miss you, too. We miss you, too. And I wish you could look out over the yard. We've got this great window that we look out of when we're podcasting. And it's kind of twilight on a summer's night here. And it kind of leads me into a recent experience I had looking out of this very window.
Mm-hmm.
Our podcast today is on rare moments, and this is a blog topic from last week for me. And I opened up talking about these little hummingbirds, Lucy.
I love hummingbirds.
I do too. And honestly, I believe I've seen three or four of them in my life in total. You know, I have almost never seen a hummingbird. They're like almost a whale sighting for me.
Really?
You know, it's
that is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really special. And last week I was cooking supper and one of my sons calls me to the window here in the dining room saying that we had a hummingbird in the yard. And we do have flowers planted around the outside of the window. And sure enough, when I managed to get my face plastered against the window, I saw these two little, tiny little buzzing hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. And the crazy part about it is that it was raining. And, you know, they were just bobbing around flower to flower in the rain. So we watched them for a long time. They would seem almost to disappear and then show up 3 feet to the right or 3 feet to the left or zoom 10 feet this way or that, and we spent a little time trying to track those hummingbirds, and it was just really special. And what I do know is it would have been very easy for me, knowing me, to say, buddy, you know, mama doesn't have time right now, the water's going to boil over, or I've got to stir this pot, and would have completely missed rushing to the window and acting like a little, you know, 7-8-year-old child, with three of my children anyway.
Your little Audubon moment there.
Yes, it was.
Wild birds. And, you know, Sharon, you and I were talking about this earlier, about this podcast tonight and thinking about the hummingbirds. You know, I did not even think about it until we actually got on the line tonight. This brought back this vivid memory of my mom.
Mm.
And my mom is gone on before us, and she is with the Lord now, and, you know, rejoicing up in heaven. But my mother was a hummingbird magnet.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. All she had to do was go out in the hummingbird season, which is like
now,
May to September, you know, something like that. May or June to September. My mother would hang her hummingbird feeders out, and they would swarm to her house. And I just, it just brought back these beautiful memories of seeing these hummingbirds at her feeders, just rejoicing over that little nectar that she would hang out there. And that was a special time that that little moment that I just had, you know, thinking about my mother and the joy that she had seeing her hummingbirds return every season.
Yeah.
So I just had to throw that in there.
No, but that's exactly what this podcast is about. You know, in the blog, I tried to break it down a little bit. When we're talking about rare moments, we are talking about moments, you know, clearly that they don't happen all the time. They're either seasonal or a couple of times in your life or only one time in your life. They're beautiful or fun, strange. They can be childlike, difficult, heartwarming, or, you know, full-on gut-wrenching, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
And so...
And you can make it what you want, right? I could go back and I could think about my mom and I could start missing her and getting in that part of it. But, you know, I think when we think back on rare moments, we're supposed to rejoice in that moment, right?
Oh, sure.
And we need to celebrate the life and the memory that was created just in that moment.
Right, right. And we, you know, we tried to keep this a very simple concept. We broke down the points to be made into 3 points. And the first is you should always be on the lookout for rare moments.
Right.
They stop time and they fill us with wonder. Mm-hmm. And this is how we thrive in a storm. You know, there are rare moments to be had all the time. So, you know, just keep your eyes peeled. The second one is, do not be afraid of difficult moments. They take a lot of strength.
Right.
But they're really important, and they can come with a different kind of reward if you have the strength to endure them.
It's a building block.
Yes. And Lucy, the third one, do you have that one?
Refresh my memory, Sharon.
And that's okay.
What is our third point?
Our third point is when you commit to something that is important, don't forget the why. You know, why you did that in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because in hard times, it is that why that will serve as a light in the darkness, offering inspiration, hope, and direction when you need it the very most.
Mm-hmm.
This is how this, what we're going to discuss in the podcast, will relate back to those who are walking into and through cancer stories, whether, you know, it's the patient or the people surrounding the patient. But we're just using our real life experiences to sort of illustrate these points.
Right, right.
So, Lucy, recently, in talking with you, I know that you have a rare moment that just happened recently of your own.
Mm-hmm. And I did. All of you out there, you know, I think that we probably are hitting a very wide range of age population, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have some newbies out there that are 27, 28 years old, maybe even younger. Broke my heart the other day. We got a phone call from a gal out of town who is facing cancer, and she's 27 years old. That just breaks my heart.
It's hard.
And we have some listeners out there that are 60 plus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Plus.
And so let's just say that I'm in the middle, but past middle, going toward that 60.
Yeah.
I know you can't believe it, right? Okay,
uh-uh.
So recently I went to a high school class reunion, and there were some folks there I hadn't seen in 40 years. 40 years.
Can you believe it? It's a long time, Lucy.
And, you know, you go into those situations and you think, oh my gosh, is this going to be awkward? Are we going to recognize each other? What are we going to say to each other?
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. You can rehearse all these things in your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? When you come down to it, you walk in and we're the same old people, right? Mm-hmm. You look at each other and say, oh my gosh, how in the world are you? Surely it's not been 40 years since I've seen you, you know?
Right.
And you start talking about those old times and those good things that we did, you know, together. And I walked away from that high school class reunion and I thought, what a rare moment that is. I was able to reconnect with some of my best friends from 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we could talk about old times and we can talk about new times. And we can support each other and we can just laugh at the ridiculous things that we used to do. And those, I believe, are rare times.
Right. And, you know, that kind of does go with our first point, Lucy.
That's right.
You know, be on the lookout for the moments, but not only that, be willing to participate, because it can be quite tempting to not participate in a class reunion.
Oh, my goodness. Think about it, Sharon. I mean, were there ever any times, you and I talked about this, was there any times that I said, I'm not going to that thing?
Oh, yeah.
I have gained some weight. I'm not going. I don't want them to see me like this, you know, or, you know, we've got some wrinkles here and there. But, you know, you look past those things and you think, where's my opportunity here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. And not make any excuses to keep you in the way of making those opportunities.
That's right. Because it turned out really...
It was beautiful. Yes, it was beautiful.
A beautiful occasion. Yeah. And you would have missed it. And so I'm just so pleased that you, you know, you grasped that opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
So the second story that we're going to share with you guys comes from my life. And this is one that, quite frankly, when I was writing my blog, I don't think I have ever written a blog through flowing tears, but I did. And it wasn't all sadness. It was just hard to write on this topic. But this is one that's just very important to me. And so it takes me back to January 26, 2010. So this was clearly a hard moment, very difficult, but also profound. I can just remember standing in a hospital room with a large portion of my family in the room, all encircling my grandmother's bed. Now, I don't want to give you the wrong impression of my grandma. Lil, you know, she was a beautiful, elegant battle axe. She was tougher than most men. She was a little petite, strong woman who worked in the fields. She lived through the Depression. She watched the towers fall. She lived through two adoring husbands and unfortunately lived through the loss of two of her children, her two sons. This woman canned, quilted, embroidered, gardened. She took care of cows and pigs. She took care of my horse for a period of time. Yeah. She was an amazing woman. She loved us with her whole heart in her actions, although she was very guarded and full of the most delightful stories and this bubbling laughter. She hit that hospital bed, gosh, I don't remember exactly. It was less than a week before she passed. And she was 94 years old. This woman was still, you know, hanging laundry out on the line and such before that week. So us standing there around her, it was almost, for me, like, you know, she was the original superhero. You know, although I realized 94 is old, I never looked at her and thought, you know, this is an old woman, because she was just so full of life.
Yeah.
It was very hard to look on her, knowing what was coming. But as we all stood around her, I realized that everyone in the room owed their breath to her. One way or another, they did. And so it was also really quite beautiful. And I looked around and all of our hands were laying on her. And, you know, also very lovely. And at one point, you know, this colorful, rich life of hers ended with an exhale.
Yeah.
You know, she just released herself into peace in that moment. And when she did, you know, my knees literally buckled. I was, for a moment, I thought I would hit the floor. And, you know, the grief came over me like a tsunami. That I realized that this was such a huge thing. That we were there for any part of her life. That she was part of our family at all. And that as she ascended, what she saw was this family all touching her.
Yeah.
You know, like she had touched us. So I say that not to make you sad, because even though the grief was powerful,
right,
in the midst of that, I felt, and the only way I know to describe it was like this bubble, this bubble, like a bubble rising through warm honey, coming up through my soul. And it was pride, and it was love, and it was all those memories of, you know, shelling peas and rocking chairs with her and hanging laundry out and running under the sheets while she told us to quit, stop that. You know, it was so sweet.
And really, I wish, a bittersweet there.
But it, you know, it was mostly, I just felt so honored.
Yeah.
And grateful that there had been enough strength in me or provided to me that I had been able to endure that moment. And so I only relay this story because as you go through illness, whether it's you or you're the caretaker or a friend, there are moments, even when it's not a terminal situation, that are very hard, very difficult to endure, and you know that walking in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but if you're not there for these things, if you opt out, because it's the easier thing to do, you're really going to miss out. You're really going to miss out on some of the most profound memories of your life. And so I encourage you not to be afraid of those difficult moments. Mm-hmm. Just try and summon the strength, because those moments have their own kind of reward. And so that was point number two. Anyway, so I thought I'd end on a high note, Lucy.
Yeah. I think, you know, in summation of that, Sharon, I think that the point here is rare moments can be over-the-top exhilarant.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be sad but bittersweet in the whole end as well. You know, mm-hmm. We have a spectrum here.
Oh, sure.
And rare moments.
And they can be...
And it's grasping that every single day. Just like we always end all these segments in that not just surviving, but thriving tidbit of the day. I mean, it's just like a rare moment.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it? A very similar sort of situation. You know, we always like to end with that. What is that moment in time? What is something that just happened that made you stop in your tracks and think, oh my gosh, this is happening right now, and I am going to breathe in every second of this time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we preach about every single week we get on this radio show, is what are our rare moments? It's just hitting me. It just hit me. Rare moments are not just surviving, but thriving tidbits.
Yes, they are, Lucy.
Yes, they are.
They are. That's kind of, you know, that's our point. And they are coming in very simple things every day. And then they also come in large, profound moments in your life. But they also come in, you know, I can remember probably 5 years after my treatment, driving on the first cool fall day. And it was kind of gray and misty and not typically the kind of day most people want to drink in. I was on my way to work, and it was foggy, and I opened all the windows and just let my hairdo go. And I was breathing in that moist, cool fall air, and I was like, God, thank you for another season. Thank you for another day like today. And easily that could have been missed.
Get on the other side and appreciate whether it's sunny or foggy, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So the last moment is the moment that I married my husband, Tracy, who was my best friend, clearly, and still is. And this moment represents an idea. The idea is that some moments we orchestrate. We show up at the same place at the same time for a common purpose that matters. And in that moment, that's what we chose to do. We definitely had our own past, very different past. But from that moment on, we meant, you know, and we still do, to walk through it together. No matter what life was going to throw at us, we were committing to each other. And then, you know, it was amazing and beautiful and, you know, your heart sore and you gaze into each other's eyes and all that a wedding is, it was.
Yeah.
But then it's what comes after that. It's literally what comes after that that matters, you know, because even though we still have great times, you know, where he's playing the guitar in the evening and the kids are dancing and I'm dancing, or, you know, just simple silliness driving along in the, you know, the minivan. There are a lot of wonderful things, but there are also hard times because, let's face it, we're both human and this is a marriage. And so we are left every day to live out that moment, that decision, that common choice that we made.
Yeah.
And we have to revisit why we did that. Why did we do that? Why, you know, why did we fall in love with each other? Why did we commit to each other? And in a cancer story, again, you're going to meet with moments like this. I can tell you, I met with a common purpose with quite a few people in August. And even though we all agreed to be there at that time and place, I was ready to run. But I went through it that day. I went ahead and I did it. But I had to show back up and follow through with that commitment 21 days later. And then 21 days later, and then 21 days later. And I can tell you, by my fifth chemo treatment, I didn't want to follow through anymore.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Common.
And so it is, I hit that wall that we talk about. And I had to ask myself, why did I commit to this in the first place? You know, and some of that goes back to the day I married Tracy. You know, he's part of the reason. He's part of the reason I went through with that fifth treatment and that sixth treatment. But you do have to ask yourself why. You do. And when you're taking care of someone who's ill, again, you know, this is something that you have to address in your heart and in your mind. And you need to remember, why did you decide to do this in the first place? And find your starch, like my grandmother would have, and continue walking through it, because you're not going to regret it. So, again, that's our third point. Even though some rare moments are fleeting, we have to come back to what they meant to us very frequently, sometimes day to day or minute to minute. But, you know, if it's important, it's still important, and you need to remember that.
Yeah. It's seeing it through.
Yeah, seeing it through. That's right. So, okay, this was a very simple podcast, but I think it was kind of, was it heavy, Lucy?
It's rare.
It's rare. It's a rare podcast.
Rare moments here.
It is. We got a little heavy on you guys. But yeah, it was a little rare. And so, you know, I think perhaps we should wrap this one up. What do you think, Lucy?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I think we have given our listeners about four or five, not just surviving, but thriving tidbits of the day.
Well, then what I'd like to do is encourage them.
Right.
To make their own, mm-hmm. make a mental note, and perhaps come to our Facebook page and share those with us. We would love mm-hmm. to hear about them.
Love to hear those.
And so we are at My Chemo Cocktail. Use the little and symbol, me. That's our Facebook page. So
please
do come and share with us. Your rare moments. How did you choose to thrive today or tomorrow? We want to know.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Or go to our website, which is www.mychemococktail.com, and you can link on to our Facebook from there, or our Twitter, or our other areas of social media.
That's right.
Come and visit with us and sit with us. Tell us your stories, and we will... embrace them. We will share back with you, and we will more than likely share it with our listening audience, right?
Yeah, we would love to do that.
We have your permission to do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Lucy.
So Sharon, thank you. I miss you tonight, honey.
I miss you too. The moon's coming out, darling. So I'm glad you're not on the road. But I guess, guys, until next time, this is Sharon and Lucy. And as always, we're not just surviving, but we're thriving with you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.